I appreciate our worship team. Don't you give them a good hand? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, good, good. He is a good, good Father. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning? Turn over to Proverbs 4:23. You know, I have got so much to share on this teaching I've been sharing, and the Lord just keeps pouring into my heart with this. And I'm praying that it's a blessing to you. I'm praying that you're receiving this and you're getting this down into your spirit. And so maybe you've come to the full revelation of a son and daughter, but maybe there's others that you're ministering to and you want to help them. You know, I'm in the help people business. I want to see people helped. I want to see people whole. I want to see people living successful. That's what pastors do. Pastors that have a pastor's heart want to see people help. They want to see people growing. They want to see people get out of situations and better their lives, amen, and come to that full understanding of God's unconditional love and grace in their life so they can walk free and whole. That's my heart. That's what I do. That's what I do this for. That's why I've been doing this for 46 years. How could that be when I'm 25? How could that possibly be? It's just no way. Good night. God math. That's it. 46 years? Wow. You know, somebody the other day was saying, man, Pastor, you're out on the road, and you're out on the road those 3.5 years, and you're getting messages. How did you do that? How in the world? Getting home at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, getting up, teaching, going out the next afternoon. How in the world did you do that? I said, God's grace and love for people. I have a love for you. I have a love for you. Amen. I love you today. Amen. And God loves you even more. Proverbs 4:23, what does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs, what? The issues of life. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same in Jesus' name. And we confess as a body that we have people coming from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west to hear the message of grace and God's unconditional love, that this place is full to overflowing, that every ministry is functioning totally, people in their place enjoying their calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, you are loved today. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been teaching on the orphan's heart or the orphan spirit, and there's still some tapes back there, and Aaron's been kind enough to run these off, and you can pick these up. And if you don't have the money to give towards them, just take them. They're about $5. If you'd like to donate $5 or $100 or $1,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 or $1,000,000, please do. But if you don't have that and you'd like to have one, just take it. They're back there, and I would love for you to pass this word around, because so many people in this world are affected by an orphan's heart. As Christians, listen to me, as believers, we are born again in our spirit. Our spirit is perfect. Once you're born again, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness placed in your born-again spirit. Faith does not move God. God is already moved. Faith appropriates what God has already done. So faith is that positive response to what God's done. So we have everything that contains to life and godliness in our born-again spirit. We are a soul man. We have soul. We are a soul made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And you know that is the thing that's being transformed on a daily basis. Amen. To the image of Jesus Christ, as the revelation of his grace comes within our soul realm, and we have that understanding, and we realize and we line up our thinking with God's word. Amen? Hello? Amen? And we live in a body. We have an earth suit. We live in this body, and it's kind of neutral. It does what, you know, the soul tells it to to do, basically. And then we have a heart. The heart. The heart determines your actions in life. That's what the Bible teaches us. Within the heart of man, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So your heart, listen to me, determines the actions of life. And so many people have come to Christ and their heart has or was a heart of an orphan and not a son and daughter. And God desires us to have full sonship. Amen. Full privilege of sonship. Not being an orphan, not being a daughter, but full privilege of sonship. God desires our hearts to be whole and not full of holes. He desires us to walk as a son of daughter, full of his love, full of his grace, full of his acceptance. Not as an orphan, one who does not know the Father's love, hasn't experienced that full love, and is full of rebellion instead. God has healing for every heart. The issues that people deal with come from not fully knowing who they are in Christ, having that revelation of God's love and his unconditional love, not understanding who they are in Christ, not seeing who they are in Christ, because they've grounded their personality or their heart in somebody else's opinion of them or what they grew up as. Some of you have some bad upbringing. Come on, somebody. Some of you have some horrible upbringing. You know, I heard a story the other day about a guy went to a zoo, and he went to a zoo, and he was walking around the zoo, and he came to this one area, and there was a fox in this area. And this fox kept going around the outer perimeter of this area. And he'd go around again, and he'd go around again, and he'd go around again. And there was a keeper standing there, and he asked the guy, he said, "What is this fox doing? He's just going around in circles." He said, "Well, let me tell you the story about this fox." He said, "We brought him in to rehabilitate him. He was, you know, having some issues and problems, so we brought him in, we captured him, we brought him in. We put him in this arena, and he started going around in a circle. So he got better and better, so we took him out to release him out in the field to set him free." So as soon as we released him, he started, guess what? Going around in circles. He got so used to the habitat that he was in that he couldn't change the pattern. And so they had to take him, they captured him again, and they put him back in the pen, and there he is. And that's the way the orphan heart is. It's become so adapted to a way of thinking that it's become a lifestyle of rejection, a lifestyle of not feeling worthy, a lifestyle of rebellion. Hello? And so it's so important, so imperative that we really let God break us free from that. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Amen? You can be born again and not be aware of all God's love that he has for you. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I was aware of that. I wasn't aware of all of God's love that he had. I was born again. I was sanctified. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was praying for others and praying for me. I was a pastor and didn't know all of God's love that he had for me and all of his grace. And boy, it brings issues in your life when you don't know that. Turn to somebody and say, "He's teaching you right now." Amen. You can walk around in a born-again understanding, but still have an orphan spirit and an orphan's mentality. Let's look at Galatians 4:21. Galatians 4:21. Look at this. This is some powerful stuff here, guys, I want to share with you this morning. Wow. Hallelujah. What we see taking place in the natural is often a reflection of what is beginning to occur in the spiritual. The spirit of Ishmael, the orphan heart. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had what? How many sons? Two sons. The one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman, by Sarah. Remember the story over in Genesis chapter 16 when, you know, God promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations. He was 75 years old. Turn to somebody and say, "It's not too late." Come on, it's not too late. Amen. Woo, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask and think. Amen. And he said, hey, man, you know, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, you know, about 10 years went along, and, you know, his wife got a little impatient, and Sarah said to Abraham, hey, baby, there's my handmaiden. Go into her. And, of course, Abram didn't object at all. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Went in, married her. Guess what happened? She got pregnant, had a son. His name was what? Ishmael. And there became jealousy between Sarah and Hagar. And Sarah persecuted her and drove her out. Ishmael grew up with an orphan's heart. An orphan spirit. Was born according to the flesh and of the free woman through what? The promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, which gives birth to bondage. The law always gives birth to bondage. Come on, somebody. From this, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is bondage with her children, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is what? Free, which is the mother of us all. Hallelujah. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you do not bear. Break forth and shout, you are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, and Isaac was our children of, as Isaac was our children of what? We are, turn to somebody and say, you are a child of promise. The spirit of Ishmael is an orphan's heart, warring against the spirit of Isaac, the spirit of the son. Seems to be the dominating spirit in the earth today. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? The same spirit that actually releases terrorism upon the earth today is prevalent within all the society. Rivalry, envy, jealousy produces violence within both the natural and spiritual realms as people compete with one another for the hearts of people and seek to establish their own land. The search for acceptance, significance, and destiny often results in the wrestling match, listen to me, as people grasp for what they deem as rightfully theirs. It is evident within politics. How many know that? Listen to me. The workplace. You ever seen an orphan spirit, orphan heart in the workplace? And even the church. Woo! You know what the result can be? A holy war. Unconsciously proclaimed by those who have an orphan heart as they struggle with their brethren for position, authority, and inheritance. Turn to I say, you got to think about that a second. Holly said, say that again. An orphan heart is those that struggle with their brethren for position, authority, and inheritance. So here is Abraham and Sarah. They promised a child 75 years old after waiting 10 years. They became impatient. Sarah told Abraham, go in with Hagar. Amen. And instead of waiting on the promise through faith, the flesh got in the way. And when the flesh gets in the way, look out, man, an orphan spirit's coming out. Right? You know what Ishmael means? The word Ishmael means whom God hears. You know what's so incredible about our God that we serve? Is he doesn't want anybody to have an orphan's heart. He wants everybody to be adopted into the kingdom of God, that they're on such a solid foundation and they're so secure in the Father's love that nothing's going to move them. He's even for the Ishmaels today. He's for those people today that created terrorism over in London today. He loves those people just as much as he loves you and me, and his desire is that all of them come to the full understanding of sonship in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. That's the Father's heart. He's for that, for all of us in the church family, because there's so many who are walking crippled today, not knowing what God has fully done for them and the grace that he has for them. Turn to somebody and say, God didn't want you walking that way. He wants you walking whole. Amen. Wow. At the age of 16 years of age, Ishmael was forced into the wilderness away from his father because of jealousy, rivalry between the two women. That's what was going on. God doesn't want that. Amen. He wants us to walk in peace. Amen. Wow. Over in you don't have to turn here, but over in Genesis 21, 9 through 21, the Arabic historians divide the Arabics into two races. First, it's the pure ones, the descendants of Joktan, and then the mixed Arabic, the descendants of Ishmael. So the prophecies from Genesis 16, 12 and Genesis 25, 18 are now and have always been true. Let's put this up. Genesis 16, 12. Look at this. Look at this. Genesis 16, 12. He shall be, speaking of Ishmael, he shall be what? A what? A wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brother. Is that taking place today? Are you seeing that taking place around the world today? Absolutely. We're seeing the onslaught of terrorism take place. Where does that come from? It goes way back to Ishmael and Isaac. Wow. He settled in defiance of all of his relatives. So since the moment Ishmael experienced rejection from his father for this last 3,900 years, many of Ishmael's descendants, listen to me, attitudes, dispositions, manners, habits, government, dress have not changed. Still going on. Still passing down that orphan spirit, right? So what also has not changed is the tension between the one who lives a life as he does not have a home, the spirit of an orphan, and the one is secure in his father's love and heart, the spirit of sonship. Often, within the church family, it's hard to distinguish the one from the other. Turn to somebody and say, boy, he's really talking to you now. Whether a person is walking in the attitude of an orphan, or is he walking in the attitude of a son? Wow. Sometimes you don't see the orphan's heart. Outwardly, a person may have a pattern of service, sacrifice, discipline, apparent loyalty, but you do not know what is inside a person until he or she gets bumped. Turn to somebody and say, watch out for the bumps. Have you ever bumped into someone like that? Turn to somebody and say, have you ever bumped into somebody like that? Woo! All of a sudden, what comes out, man? Then the attitude of the heart overflows at a time when they feel they are not getting the recognition or favor they deserve. Somehow the difference lies in the motives and intentions of the what? The heart. Turn to somebody and say, man, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep my son's heart. I'm going to keep my daughter's heart. Amen. So I'm going to look at some things this morning. I want to just compare some things this morning and show you some differences. And we've done this a little bit, but God gave me some other things I want to share with you. Y'all still with me this morning? Come on, y'all still with me? Because we're finding a remedy here. I just want to share this with you. Amen. You need to know how to minister to people and how they respond. And you know what's really, really interesting? Well, let's go down. Look at Hebrews 12, 7 through 9. Hebrews 12, 7 through 9. Look at this. This is very interesting this morning. Hebrews 12, 7 through 9. Hallelujah. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as what? If you endure chastening. Now, you know, a lot of people have an old covenant perspective of God. A lot of people with an orphan's heart have an old covenant perspective of God. And when they think of chastening, they think of beating. That is not what God's talking about. You cannot beat a son into submission. You cannot beat a daughter into submission. What he's talking about out of the reference of this scripture and out of the Greek, he's talking about training. Being teachable. How many know God desires to train his sons and daughters? How many know, as a good parent, the best way to grow a child is to teach them, to train them, not to beat them? Oh, that's real quiet here this morning. Y'all, you Presbyterians are quiet in this place today. Amen. Listen, if I'm not going to take my child, put them out in a busy street and say, play in that street, son. How good a father would I be if I did that to my daughters? Boy, I'd be in jail, right? That's the way some people have a perspective of God. And if you get out in the street, he's going to beat you to the pulp until you learn something. God desires to train your children by grace, by setting an example, by teaching them how good he is, by training them that if you go into that busy street, son, it's not the best thing for you. Amen. That's what we do. We train up our children in the ways of the Lord. We don't beat them up. We train them up. God didn't beat you up. He wants to train you. And he says, if you're trainable, if you're teachable, you're my son, you're my daughter. I want to train you. Amen. I want to raise you into the full sonship of my grace and love. Ooh, this is good stuff, brother. For what son is there whom a father does not train, right? But if you are without chastening, training, of which all have become partakers, then you are what? Illegitimate and not what? Not sons. God desires to train us. Another word for train is discipline us. But people get over into this discipline thing and they think it means to beat you over the head. That's not the God we serve. You got a wrong perspective of God. Maybe you had a wrong perspective because your dad beat you over the head and that's the way you are. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Amen. Amen. Y'all still with me? Sons are trained, taught, teachable. But if you are without that, then the Bible says we're illegitimate, we're orphans. Amen. So the orphan spirit causes one to live life as he does not know he's in a safe, secure place in his father's heart. He feels he has no place of affirmation, protection, comfort, belonging, or affection. And you know what? When kids are let loose to run wild without being trained, you know, how many has ever been around some kids that were let loose, ran wild, and you knew they'd never been trained? Come on, anybody? How does that make you feel? Like training them. Amen. Man, you know, you ever go to a place and you walk into a restaurant and you know immediately there's kids around you and they're just running like crazy, just and the parents are just oblivious. You know what I'm saying? They're making a mess. Parents aren't saying, now, honey, you need to clean that up. Honey, you need to sit here in the chair. You start training a child when they're very young, right? Amen? You got to train them. A lot of people are just oblivious. Train your children. Come on, somebody. Train your children. Amen. Don't let them be rebellious. Train them. Love them. You don't have to beat them. I can't ever, maybe once or twice, I had the spanky spoon, and that's about it with my girls. I really tried my best as a father to pour in love and to train them. Kay, did you ever get spanked? I can't remember. You're once, but it was the Lisa's fault. Did y'all get that? Amen. Once. And she blames it on her. That's just like, you know, hey, it's a, you know, but, you know, that's how it is, you know. When I grew up, my father didn't train me, he beat me. He beat me. I was beaten as a kid. Maybe some of you are the same way. I was beaten. I had blood on my legs and on my rear. Beaten. Guys, don't beat your kids. Love on them. Train them. If you do have to spank them, don't. Kill them. Don't put warps on them. Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wow. All right. The orphan is self-oriented, lonely, and inwardly isolated. He has no one whom to draw godly inheritance. Therefore, he has to strive to achieve, compete, and earn everything he gets in life. It easily leads to a life of anxiety, fear, and frustration. The spirit of a son is all about having a hard attitude of submission, being subject to another's mission. Jesus was subject to his father's mission. Jesus said, the son cannot do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the father do. For whatever the father does, these things the son also does in like manner. Hebrews 12:9 says, be subject, what? Be subject, what does it say? Hebrews 12:9, put it up. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Should we not much more readily be in subjection? You know what that word subjection means? That word subjection doesn't mean, a lot of times I've heard teachers and preachers use this for women and husbands and wives relationship. It does not mean to get down and be a doormat to walk over. Y'all hear what I'm saying this morning? Am I teaching really good today? It does not mean that. The word subjection means to get under, listen to me, to lift up. When you have the heart, pastors should have the heart of people. I have a heart to get under people. I want to see them improve and better. I want them to lift up. I don't want them to fall down. I desire them to be lifted up. That's what God desires of you. He doesn't want you to fall over. He wants you. So every time we submit to God, you got to understand it's about you being lifted up out of that place. God wants to lift you up, not put you down. And we get such a negative connotation of submission that it's something about, you know, you got to lay down here. You got to do this. No. Husbands and wives, that's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and submitted himself for it, gave himself for it. Why did he give himself for it? So he could lift us up. Hallelujah. That is the whole beauty of God's love, is that when you're in a submissive heart, it's there so that you will not be put down, but you'll be lifted up. But the son of a spirit of a orphan has a rebellious heart. He doesn't want to submit. He wants to run, fight, argue. And when submission does come or someone speaks into their life, then usually what they do is run and find somebody else with an orphan spirit. Oh, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. Because they know that they can confide in one another. An orphan spirit feeds off of an orphan spirit. Instead of running to someone that's mature in the Lord and say, hey, buddy, you need to take it like a man. He's looking out, she's looking out for your best interest. They never find someone like that. They run to find somebody to agree with them. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, he's really teaching right now. Are you getting that? Amen. Listen, guys, I grew up in this thing. I've been in this thing a long time. I had a pastor that I deeply love. I was 17 years old, 18 years old, 19 years old. I went to Bible college. I came back, and I served in that church for 10 years. I served in that church. I allowed that pastor to speak into my life. And sometimes he told me things I didn't want to hear. But you know what I found out? He loved me. Whoa, did that man love me? He loved me so much. His name is Frank Traficanto. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was a flat, he did stand here non-demonstrative. Now, you got to get this. In a Pentecostal church, all the preachers were like, yeah, yeah. Frank was like, the Lord really loves you today. And that was his heart. And he would speak into my life because there was things that I needed spoken into. Especially as a young man in my 20s and stuff. Wow, because I had a huge orphan heart. I was born again, I was called to ministry, but a huge orphan heart. Man, rebellious and all kinds of stuff going on, you know, and he would speak into my life, and you think I like that? Made me mad, but you know what? I didn't go and tell somebody else. I received it. You know why? Because I really wanted to change and be like Jesus. And you know what I wanted to be like? I want to be like a Frank Traficanto. Solid in the Word, solid in his life, solid in his family. Man, that's where God wants you, amen? So when someone speaks into your life, it's not to hurt you or harm you. If they're trying, if they're a believer that loves you and cares for you, they're not trying to put you down. They're really trying to lift you up. Can you give God some praise? Amen. Amen. And when somebody corrects you, run to somebody that's spiritual and let them speak into your life. Now, there are a lot of people who can put on spirituality. Yes. Halachapakatai. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. You know, a lot of people with full sonship are so secure. Do you know who they love hanging with the most? Jesus. Jesus. So to have the spirit of sonship, to put yourself underneath another's mission and do all you can make it happen. John Maxwell has a great saying. He says, if you want it to happen for you, make it happen for somebody else. If you want to make it happen for you, make it happen for someone else. Sonship is about security, identity, patience, trust, faithfulness, loyalty, humility, and being others-oriented. So, I'm going to read some things, and you can say, woe is me, or thank you, Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. The spirit of an orphan, the spirit of the son. Spirit of an orphan sees God as master and taskmaster. The spirit of a son sees God as a loving father. The spirit of an orphan is independent and self-reliant. The spirit of a son is interdependent, always relying on God. The theology of an orphan, they live by the love of the law, brother. The theology of a son, they live by the law of love. Ooh. Spirit of an orphan, insecure, lacks peace. Spirit of a son, he's always at rest. She's always at rest and peace because they know they're dwelling in the Lord's presence. Spirit of an orphan, need the approval of men. Strive for the praise, approval, and acceptance of men. Spirit of son just says, man, I'm in daddy's arms today. Hallelujah. I don't need his approval because he approves of me. I don't need men's approval. God approves of me. Amen. Motive for service, an orphan. A need for personal achievement as you seek to impress God and others of all your spirituality and all that you do. Spirit of a son. Service that is motivated by love and gratitude because God just accepted me the way I am. Motive behind Christian disciplines, an orphan. Duty, earning God's favor. Oh, or no motivation at all. A son. Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a delight, Dad. I'm so glad I'm walking with you today. Motive for purity, orphan. Well, I got to be holy in order to get God's favor on my life. Thus, it increases the sense of shame and guilt. Spirit of a son knows who he is, knows what Jesus has done for him, has an intimate relationship with God because of that. Self-image, orphan, self-rejection from comparing yourself to others. You know, that's one of the worst things you can do. Let me tell you something. Someone's always got bigger and better. Son, positive and affirm because you know you have such value to God. Source of comfort, orphan seeks comfort in counterfeit affections, addictions, compulsions, escapism, busyness, hyper-religious activities. Son, seeks time of quietness and solitude to rest in the Father's presence and love. Isn't that? First thing in the morning, I get up, get a cup of coffee, and me and Jesus go out on my porch. And I sit out there for about an hour and just I pray for you and pray for my family and speak life over you. And I am just enjoying son. Amen. Y'all with me? Anybody? Peer relations, orphans, competition, rivalry, and jealousy towards others, success, and position. Son, humility and unity as you value others and are able to rejoice in their blessings and success. Woo! Hallelujah. Handling other faults. Orphans, quick to accuse and expose in order to make yourself look better or good or higher. A son, love covers all. Love covers a multitude of sins. I love that. Are you all still with me this morning? Can I get a few more out? You're all still here? View of authority, orphan, sees authority as a source of pain, distrustfulness towards them, and lack a heart of attitude of submission. A son, respectful, honoring you, see them as the ministers of God for you and your life. View of admonition, orphan, difficulty receiving admonition because you must be right so you easily get your feelings hurt and close your spirit to discipline. Son, see the receiving admonition as a blessing and a need in your life so that your fault and weaknesses are exposed and put to death. Expression of love. Orphan, guarded and continually based upon others' performance as you seek to get your own needs met. Son, open, patient, affectionate as you lay your life and agendas down in order to meet the needs of others. Sense of God's present, orphan, conditional and distant, son, close and intimate. Condition of the heart, orphan, bondage, son, liberty. Position, orphan, lives like a servant slave, son, lives like a son and daughter. Wow. Vision, orphan, spiritual ambition, the earnest desire for some spiritual achievement and distinction and the willingness to strive for it, a desire to be seen and counted among the mature, son, to daily experience the Father's unconditional love and acceptance and then be sent as a representative of his love to family and others. Future, orphan, fight for what you can get. Son, hey man, I already got my inheritance. Now I want to say this to you. Listen to this very carefully this morning. This is my last point today. The orphan spirit is not something you can cast out. The orphan heart is not something you can go to a deliverance ministry and get deliverance from. It cannot be cast out. The ungodly beliefs, the attitudes of the flesh cannot be cast out. Well, how does it help then? It has to become part of the experience of God's total love and a revelation of his grace. The only way that can change from people going around in this circle is when they have a continuous understanding of God's unconditional love and grace. When you have that, it repositions you in life. Amen. Hebrews 13:5 amplified. Hebrews 13:5 amplified. Woo! Y'all get that this morning? Anybody get that today? Hallelujah. Where are you at? How you minister to others? See others now. You can say, wow, now I kind of see others where they are, what they're going through. You know, and listen, don't reject that orphan's heart. Pour in the oil and the wine of Jesus Christ. Bind them up. Heal them. Let them have the full revelation of God's love. Look at God's love for us this morning. Let your character of moral disposition be free from love of money. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that's evil, right? Money, God uses money. Money's okay, it's good. But it's when you love money, right? He says, let that character be in you free of money, including greed, arrogance, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have, for he, God, himself said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any way decree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax the hold on you. Assuredly what? That is God's picture of you as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Amen? Woo! Man, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet and you opened it up, you'd be the first one right there. That's what he thinks about you today. That's how much he loves you today. He does not want you walking around as a born-again Christian having a leaky heart. He wants you to be so complete, so whole, when somebody looks at you cross-eyed, you just love them back. You just think they're having a bad day. When a born-again believer comes up to you and says something irritable to you or tries to upset you, you're so much at peace, you just reach out, "Brother, I love you so much," and you don't think anything about it. You just walk out in the fullness and the surety of God's love he has for you. When a leader has to correct you, you don't fall apart like a $2 suitcase. No, you say, "You know what, they got my best interest in mind. You know what, I love them. Thank you for that word into my life. Hallelujah." And you walk up and you just say, "Man, God, I'm just increasing evermore." Isn't that? You know what? You got to start understanding God could live anywhere in this universe, and he chose to live in you. He could be over there in Jerusalem today just hanging out. I know he's omnipresent. I know he's everywhere. But really, he's dwelling in you. In that flesh, God is living in you, your spirit alive and well, and your spirit, amen. And God says, "Hey, listen, I don't want to reject that heart. Even you're my son, you're my daughter. Come on and let me just pour in the fullness of what I have for you." Stand this morning, amen. Give God some praise today, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm God's picture on his refrigerator today." Come on. Amen. I'm right there. Praise God. I'm his favorite. Turn to somebody and say, "Hey, you may think you are, but I'm his favorite." Amen. Come on, somebody. Say, "I'm his favorite." Say, "I am the disciple Jesus loves." Boy, John had such a revelation of that, didn't he? He did not have an orphan's heart. He just jumped right in, full thing. Amen. You know what? Think about Peter. Peter, I think, grew up in a really rough surrounding, the Apostle Peter. Jesus told him one day, Jesus said, "Hey, devil, get behind me. Satan, get behind me." Ah! Can you imagine that? Wow. But you know what? Peter became full son. Full son. Amen. He said, "We are a royal generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation." Amen. That's who I am. That's what we are. Raise your hands this morning. Amen. Say with me out loud. Say, "Jesus, thank you today for the revelation of sonship, who I am in you. I am a son, a daughter of the Most High. My agenda is your agenda. My heart is your heart. Today, I dwell in security, in the fullness of love, not in rebellion, but in your love, in your understanding for me. Today, I rejoice. Today, I rejoice for who I am in Jesus Christ, born again into full sonship, full daughtership of the Most High. I love you, Lord, because you love me. In Jesus' name, amen." Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you need prayer this morning, you're welcome to come up. We'd love to pray for you. Shake hands with 5 people. Tell them they're loved today, would you? Amen.
Nothing compares to this.